Oh, Rock, a great performance down in San Francisco on both sides of the ball. For the 49ers, though, the Seahawks, where does this leave them, and what should we read into it or take out of it?
You know, it's funny. Trent called me Friday or Saturday and said I was 22 of 25 for 400 yards in scout team offense against our defense. So he didn't have a real good feeling about that one going in. I think Trent had a little better feeling when I talked to him Monday, and I don't think he was, well, I think he was pretty shocked at their ability to run the football. And Frank Gore's a good player and all of that. But that being said, 250 yards rushing against the Seahawks defense was something I and many people didn't see coming.
So what happened? I mean, where do you place the blame?
Tell you what, Mike, I really believe this. Matt Hasselbeck goes down, Sean goes down, Locklear goes down, Porkchop goes down. And a lot of the guys filled in pretty admirably, really. I mean, you look at the statistical and, you know, numbers, and Ashworth has really picked it up. But Marcus Tubbs goes down, and I just don't know who fills that void physically. I don't know, and that's what Trent said to me after Monday, talking about the game as well, is, you know, that's what Kansas City found out when they ran the ball 53 times, when Marcus was deactivated before the game. I just don't know how you replace that kind of guy. And as Trent and I were talking about, it's amazing how one guy in that defense, in that front seven, one guy, and North Turner was talking about that as well, Trent, that how that one guy can make an enormous difference.
Well, he's the only guy they have who's like that.
Exactly.
He's different from all the other
guys.
And
there's not those guys on the street. And I tell people, you know, when I was in Indianapolis, they take pride in their system works against anybody and anything, except when we played Jacksonville with their two D tackles, there were half the run plays were thrown out. You just can't run that play against those guys. And and Marcus, I don't know if I put him quite on that level as you know, being that dominant, but teamed up with smaller guys around him, he just absorbed so many of the interior guys up front and let Julian and Lofa and those guys scrape off. And how many times have you in watching that game, to me it looked like Seattle's offensive line of last year. Guys on guys, locked up, getting on the linebackers, and Sean would have a one-on-one matchup with a safety. And how many times in that game, especially in the first half, did you see Frank Gore have one-on-one opportunities? That San Francisco's offensive line looked like Seattle's offensive line last year against a lot of teams. And Marcus just absorbs those guys. Those guys scraping off don't get on Lofa. They don't get on Julian. And they've got to find an answer for that.
I saw plays where there were two guys like escorting Leroy Hill to the third deck. I mean, it was, you know what I mean? You're like, wow, how do they block it so well? And that maybe is why.
Well, ask Ray Lewis what life was like after Siragusa and Sam Adams left in Baltimore.
Yeah.
He'd been screaming for 350 pounds in front of him, just absorbing two guys so that A, he can scrape, B, he can see what's coming. That's the problem. Larry Allen, that was what Kansas City did so well. Kansas City's three interior offensive linemen, when healthy, are the three best in the NFL. Larry Allen is like two players in San Francisco, and they've got a decent center and other guard, and those guys really just control the line of scrimmage. And Lofa and Leroy and Julian, when you can't see around you, how are you then supposed to see and find that little running back?
So now we go against the Packers. We go into this game against the Packers, and they've got Amon Green. I mean, are we going to see a big rushing day, do you think?
Well, I don't think they have the interior of an offensive line like Kansas City had, like Minnesota had, like San Francisco has to some degree. And again, Mike, we can talk about this all year long, but the other reality is the Seahawks team is a different team at home.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at all the statistical breakdowns, you look at whatever you want to look at, this team at home versus on the road. Look at their five performances this year on the road.
Yeah.
They played one good half of football. The second half in St. Louis, they had a 3rd and 15 to Darrell in the triple coverage, and that turned the momentum. But outside of that, Detroit, Kansas City, Chicago, tell me where you've seen it in San Francisco last week. Tell me where you've seen a really, they're a different team at home. And part of that, and I looked into this as well, last year the Seahawks go on an 11-game win streak. In those 11 games, they outscored their opponents in the first half 17-7 on average. That was the average score. Now remember two things with that. The New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. Both of those games, it took New York missing three kicks and a Herculean effort in the fourth quarter to beat Dallas. both of those games, those Dallas and New York, were ahead of the Seahawks. They both had a lot of carries with their running backs. It was a difficult day. And in saying all that, the key to helping your run defense, starting fast, getting ahead of people, not allowing them to just pound the football and run the ball.
Which is the other half of this is that in Seneca's four starts, they won two of them. He threw zero interceptions in those games. He threw five in the two losses. I mean, doesn't this team have to have good quarterback play, even more so now if they're going to have some liabilities on defense?
I think so, Mike. But I really think as much as that, also look at Seneca's two wins. Maurice Morris ran for over 100 yards.
Yeah.
And I think the three interceptions and the two interceptions is because a lot of the game was put on him, because Sean was 17 for 37 yards, because you have to throw the ball. And any quarterback in that situation, life's a lot more difficult. You have to, unfortunately, you know, make more plays, force more balls. So I think and you're absolutely right. You know, any coach will tell you turn it over, you're not going to win. But digging into that deeper, stopping the run, and running the football, the old adage in football, winning at the line of scrimmage, those foundational building blocks. And look at the other teams in the NFL right now. Look at the teams in the NFC. Look at the teams in the AFC. A lot of their strength is on both sides of football, and that's where it was for Seattle last year.
So, Matt coming back, how much does that, does it fix a lot, or are we going to still see this theme the rest of the year?
Again, I think at home this week, Mike, it wouldn't matter if Seneca was playing or Matt. I really think when you play at home, the advantage at home, a Green Bay team that's beaten up, it will help a little bit on the offensive side of the ball and communication and what they do and some of, you know, the blitzes and audibles and things that they're going to be able to hit on and make plays on. But the test to me is going to Denver. You know, the test to me will be playing San Diego at home. The test to me will be going on the road, period, and proving that they can play on the road. This team's going to have to play on the road in the playoffs. They're not going to be the number one seed. And, you know, being able to consistently control the line of scrimmage on the road. I think that, you know, we talked about, again, all year, how at home, that one-and-a-half-step advantage, that crowd noise, that half-step advantage the defense has, that helps in the run game, that helps in the pass game, that helps in the pass defense. So this is, to me, is a, you know, there's a lot going on here. There's a lot of ways to dissect this game, this thing. But simply put, it showed itself Sunday, 250 yards rushing against it. You're not going to beat people. You're not going to beat people when you cannot control either side of the line of scrimmage.
A lot of people noticed Frank Gore putting moves on Jordan Babin. Mm-hmm. And think, well, they just need a different safety. How did he play, and what is that a factor?
He did miss some tackles. Fundamentally, he got himself out of position on those tackles, did not know where his strength and his leverage was. But again, how many times did Sean Alexander make safeties look like that last year? How many times has Maurice Morris, when given that opportunity against Oakland and St. Louis in one-on-one matchups, make guys look bad? You know, that's awfully difficult. You should never have that much pressure on a safety. You should not be coming that clean one-on-one against you. The other 10 guys in front of him didn't help him. So, again, you'd like to see Jordan Babineau at least keep it in front of him, at least wait and hold on till help comes. But that's a predicament that was lost at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. Okay, Brock, thanks very much. They're 6-4. What do you see for the rest of the season?
They'll be 7-4. Yeah. And then, like I said, we'll see where this team's at when they go to Denver.
Yeah.
If they don't win that, they'll be 7-5. And more than likely, San Francisco will be 6-6 coming in here and playing for the division.
Should be fun. Thanks, Brock.
You bet.
See you.